Our next case is 13-781, State of Ohio versus Nicholas J. Castagnola. For the appellant, Mr. Benson.
Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court, my name is Russ Bensing. I'm the attorney for Nick Castagnola. And with the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The Fourth Amendment protects the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures. And that defines the issue before this court. Was the seizure of Mr. Castagnola's computer and its exploratory search unreasonable? And it was. The courts below, the trial court judge and the courts below, and indeed the state agrees that the only thing in this affidavit which gives even a hint of probable cause to believe that Mr. Castagnola's computer was used in this crime was the solitary word online, specifically the allegation of the prosecutor that Mr. Castagnola found the prosecutor's address online. The trial court, the courts below, and the state agrees that Mr. Castagnola never said those words. He never said the word online. That was a finding made by the district court judge.
But the word online, or the inference that he did find it online, was made because he said, I found the address from the clerk of courts, correct?
Yes.
So the only two ways he could have gotten it then, he either got it online on a website or he went there.
That is correct.
Right?
And we know that Mr. Castagnola spent a good bit of time at the court on at least two cases. Now, that gets into the issue, and I think sort of what the courts below found, that it was a fair inference by the officer that Mr. Castagnola found the records through an online search. And I think there's three problems with that argument. The first is that this was not presented to the magistrate as an inference. It was presented as a fact. And I think that if the judges are going to assume their constitutionally mandated obligation to serve as the determiners of whether probable cause exists, it's the magistrate's job, not the police officer's job, to make the inferences. This was not presented to the magistrate as an inference. It was presented as a fact. As a matter of fact, if you look at the affidavit, it spends about two paragraphs. A substantial portion of the affidavit consists of the recitation by the detective of the contents of the monitored conversation. And it's quite clear that he's not summarizing it. He's not drawing inferences. He's quoting it. He uses profanity in it when Mr. Castagnola uses profanity. He talks about Mr. Castagnola joking. This wasn't a situation where he was just summarizing and presenting his inferences to the magistrate. He was presenting this as fact. So I think that's the first problem. The second problem is the Franks issue. The courts below sort of held that this was a good faith belief on the officer's part. I think when you start putting words in other people's mouths that they don't say, I think that that's not an honest mistake. And that's what happened here. The officer had the tape. He had monitored the conversation himself. If you're preparing an affidavit to allow government agents to enter into your home and seize your computer, okay, to seize a computer, I think you have the obligation to get it right. This officer did not get it right. He put in the word online, even though that never appeared.
Let me ask you a different question, Mr. Bensing. In her dissenting opinion, Judge Carr noted that your client had confessed, and therefore there was very minimal value to the search in the first place. Is that what occurred here?
I think you could go beyond that.
Had your client admitted that he egged the vehicles?
He had admitted that not only in his confession. He had admitted that on the monitored conversation. At the time the police seized this computer, they had a full admission to every element of the offense here.
So,
by the time they searched it 7 days...
Isn't the isn't the action in seeking a warrant surplusage at best?
Oh, it absolutely was. They had everything they needed to make a prosecution before they walked into that house.
And there was no suggestion of any additional crime of pandering or obscenity. Was there anything in the record to reveal that there was anything about any other crime other than the vandalism?
No, there was not. In fact, the warrant indicates that the only crimes they're investigating are the retaliation and the vandalism. And that's what the search is supposed to be directed at.
But you just said to me, and I haven't verified it, but your client had confessed to those offenses before all of this occurred?
7 days before the search of the computer by Ms. Branham, he had made a full confession. Before they seized his computer, he had made a full admission in the monitored conversation.
And when was that in relation to seeking the warrant from the magistrate?
That was before the warrant was sought, because the monitored conversation was the basis for the entire warrant.
And so that should have been end of story. You're saying he's on a monitored conversation, he's making statements about how he ascertained the location of the victim here, and that should be sufficient. There should be no corroborating evidence necessary for the state to develop. Is that what your position is?
No, it's not my position, Your Honor. I recognize that the police and prosecutors have the right to build their cases they see fit, and I'm not asking this court to...
I mean, he could have recanted and said, I was just joking on that.
Absolutely.
That wasn't really true. I was just bragging. I was just being
And that's absolutely true. I'm not here arguing that this court should adopt as a standard for determining the reasonableness of a search how badly the police need the evidence. I'm not arguing that. But I think it does go into the question of reasonableness. My belief is that if you're going to do a search, if a search is going to be reasonable, you have to have a reason for it. And this was not
a
reason for it.
The reason is to find corroborating evidence as to the bragging or whatever is recorded on that conversation.
Well, again, by the time the search was conducted, 7 days after the computer had been seized, that was 7 days after Mr. Castagnola had made a full confession to the crime. So at that point, I mean, you can say, well, in the monitored conversation, he was just joking. You're not going to get away with that argument in a taped police confession, and that's what he had in that case. So again, I'm not asking to adopt a per se rule that, well, in the whole mix of Fourth Amendment totality of the circumstances, you have to throw in how badly the police needed the evidence, but I think that goes to the reasonableness of this search. And if you look at the warrant, I mean, you have this warrant requesting things like ledgers, like video cameras, recorders, that sort of stuff, which have no possible connection to anything. And I think that
goes... Well, don't you think there was a possibility? I mean, was it unreasonable to think that he may have recorded this vandalism?
That's, I think, is a problem with this case, because basically to affirm this search, the court would have to hold that whenever a police officer can imagine a circumstance under which a person could have used his computer, they can go in, seize a computer, and look all through it. And I don't think... that, I mean, 4 years ago in Smith, you recognized the privacy interest in a cell phone. Here we're talking about a computer that has a person's life on it. And if you're going to say, well, listen, if he had some basis for believing that the computer was used, it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to conjure up the parade of horribles that goes marching by. You have a situation where he was dealing with other people.
If
okay?
You are suggesting that the search could have been limited, What do you do with the inadvertent discovery of other information?
Well,
plots or threats, for example, against public officials,
well,
or any other inadvertent discovery that might happen in the course of the limited discovery that you're suggesting might be appropriate here?
Well, I think that again goes to the problem, because if you look at Ms. Branham's testimony, she's looking for any evidence of retaliation, intimidation. What could that constitute? That would entitle you to an entire exploratory search of the computer. This search, if it was based on his finding the address online, it should have been limited to determining, to checking the browser or something. It should have been limited to that. The search should have been limited to that. I'm not suggesting that the
How would you limit it? What language would you use to limit it in this case?
What I would limit it to is the what probable cause is established to look for. They had probable cause to look for evidence that he had found the address online. That's the only thing in the affidavit that supports a search of the computer, that supports finding.
So you say they can search the computer then?
Well, no, I'm not saying the answer is the computer. I'm saying if the search is limited to the items that probable cause exists for in the indictment, that's appropriate. I'm not asking the court to tell the police how to look for that evidence, to detail a methodological protocol for searching the computer.
So hypothetically, if we're looking on a cell phone and we want to find out what phone numbers had been called for a drug transaction, if we find other phone numbers, we're not permitted to look at those?
No.
I mean, how do you limit this in terms of a case which will have some widespread application in Ohio?
Because I think you limit it to the items that you're searching for. The court, the magistrate tells the police what they can search for. The police decide how they're going to go about searching it. That's the way it was. For example, if the police say they want to search for a body, the court says you can search a house for a body,
and
but
so
you can't
look in a
bread box.
And so we take the Soul case that we all know about from Cuyahoga County, and we're looking for one, but we find 11 or 15. We pay no attention to the others?
Well, I understand.
You're asking us to adopt some rule that doesn't have any common sense in it, because we know that some of these things exist.
Well, we know that some of these things exist, but for example, going back to what you asked me about, Justice O'Donnell, if you have a situation where you're looking for evidence that a guy found an address online, okay, there are certain things that you can check. That doesn't mean you get to pull up his medical history. That doesn't mean you get to pull up all his documents. That doesn't mean you get to pull up his Quicken account to look in that. That doesn't mean that you get...
Mr. Benson, it's
yes.
the trouble I'm having is it seems that you're conceding that a computer search was all right to begin with.
Oh no!
I mean, this is the thing. It's not a. It wasn't as if he were being investigated for a computer crime or pornography or anything like that that would suggest probable cause to search the computer to begin with. But if you're saying that, well, if you say something is online and we're going to go to the computer to check to see if it was online, it seems like you're expanding the idea of probable cause with respect to computer searches. And that's where I think we're wading into real problems, because once you're in a computer, it's going to be very hard to limit what is being searched in that computer.
Well, I'm not sure that I think it's not as difficult as that, and besides which, if you think I'm making a concession that the search was okay, I'm not. I believe that this was a general exploratory search. This wasn't a situation where she goes into the browser history to see, well, what did the guy look for? Maybe into Google Maps to see, well, what did the guy map out on his address? The first thing she does is pull up all the image files. Okay? So this was a general exploratory search, and I don't think that you can have a general exploratory search any more than you can go into a person's house and take all his papers, his ledgers, his private papers out, and let's look through it to see what we found.
The question is, how do you get to the computer to begin with?
Well, I think the seizure of the computer obviously was improper. Okay? As I said, the only word on that was the word online, and I don't think that there was any basis for that was simply an invention of the detective. But getting beyond that to the search, and that's the issue of particularity here, which is also part of this warrant requirement. I think when you're engaging in an exploratory search of a computer, you're wading into some very difficult territory. I think there has to be some parameter on those searches, and I think that probable cause presents the opportunity to establish some parameters.
But a limitation, I mean, even when you talk about to see if an address was properly found on the computer, there are so many different ways, so many different applications, so many potentials of getting to that computer and searching. It seems like the limitation is impractical. That's what I keep wondering.
Well, I agree that imposing limits on it, because there's, for example, if you have an allegation that a person has child pornography on his computer, I think you're going to have an exploratory search there, because that could be anywhere on the computer. I don't have a problem with that. If you're talking about a drug dealer, a major drug dealer, and you have in the affidavit that drug dealers commonly use computers to keep track of their financial obligations and so forth, I think there's no problem with that in that sense.
So
but
don't
here,
we have to look at the crime that's being alleged to see if the computer is...
Exactly. Right. That gets back to probable cause. What do we have probable cause to search this computer for? And this computer search, you have the forensic examiner saying, I was searching it for evidence of retaliation and intimidation. And that, you might as well just say, I was searching it for whatever I could find, because that's exactly what she did. There are no further questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. DiMartino.
May it please the Court, Heaven DiMartino on behalf of the State of Ohio, the appellee. We are asking that this Court affirm the decision of the trial court and the Ninth District Court of Appeals, because this search warrant affidavit was supported by probable cause and because the search warrant did state with particularity the items to be searched and the things that the police were to be looking for. Just initially to respond to Mr. Benzing's argument, the officer did not in his affidavit present as a fact that the defendant used the word online. It is clear that in the affidavit, the officer went through a summary of the investigation that he had been conducting, which included 25 acts of criminal mischief, which ranged from egging personal vehicles, egging police cruisers, egging the personal vehicles of Twinsburg police officers, egging the prosecutor's car, as well as damaging his side view mirror. Tires were slashed. There were a number of different crimes. This was not the only incident that was going on that this officer was investigating. So he went through in his affidavit these other things that were being investigated. The affidavit refers to the crimes of retaliation, criminal damaging, criminal trespass. It's not just this particular incident.
And it's not just against the prosecutor.
Absolutely not. There were incidents with the police chief, the police cruisers, personal officer
vehicles.
Did
he confess at that point to all of these crimes?
He did not. He, in his text messages, which are, if you look at the affidavit, you can tell that the detective was not quoting the recorded conversation with the defendant, because the text messages are in quotes. Clearly, the officer was quoting those. When he talks about the recorded conversation with the source and the defendant, those are not in quotes. He does state there were 10 text messages which the source provided to the detective, which indicated that Mr. Castagnoli was involved in this incident with the prosecutor. He talks about chiefing, which is slang for egging police cars, but he doesn't confess to all these crimes. There's certainly no confession to the 25 acts that the officer was investigating. So this...
Counsel, the... I'm perhaps the most behind on all this technology. The need to look at the computer, couldn't we agree that if a young person had been involved in egging incidents, one's computer is not where you would go to look for evidence of that?
We were looking for evidence involving all of these other acts of criminal mischief. The officer...
Well, let's start with the egging. That just would not be a natural in the scope of things. But because he had sent these text messages, is that...
Correct. He sent text messages, which can be sent by a cell phone or by a computer. You can send an SMS.
Or they can appear on both.
Correct.
So that's the connection.
That is the connection, as well as the connection that Mr. Castagnoli obtained the prosecutor's address by looking it up online. And you can tell that he did it that way. There's no other way that Mr. Castagnoli could have had that information if you listen to the recorded conversation, because he says not only did he have the prosecutor's unlisted personal residence, he got that from the court's office, the court's records, which he would have had to have either gone in or look up online. And even if you go to the court to look it up online, you're still looking up online. You're not looking it up in a book. You're using a computer, and you're looking it up online.
You can't walk in the courthouse and...
He wouldn't have known which court to go to. He didn't know where or if Mr. Maestros had any record. He happened to find an old parking ticket. No one knows which court he went to.
He was Googling him, and this sort of stuff came up, and he just, one thing led to another.
He would have had to. And he also knew the prosecutors had his address in Chagrin Falls, his business was in Chagrin Falls. He makes comments as far as how many David Maestros could there be who are also attorneys of this age. So he clearly did not go into one book and find a book where it said, David Maestros lives in Chagrin Falls at this address, and he's also an attorney, and he's also this age, and he also had a parking ticket.
But counsel,
at some point.
Counsel, is you're making a very persuasive argument this morning. But was all that information before the judge when the judge signed the warrant?
Everything that was before the magistrate was that the text messages indicated that he found the address, that he went to the prosecutor's house to check the mailbox. The information that was in the recorded conversation, which was that he looked it up at the courts. The only thing that was not before the magistrate.
He didn't say he looked it up at the courts. He said he looked it up on the clerk of
court
records.
Right. Court records.
That's a big difference there.
Court records, correct.
Well, I guess my point, though, is that in the dissent, I think the Court of Appeals is inviting us to at least address the rummaging through personal computers for information that can be found somewhere else. Just listening to your argument this morning, I realized the Twinsburg prosecutor is a neighbor of mine in Chagrin Falls. I did not have to go online to find that out. Doesn't there have to be a weighing before a magistrate violates the Fourth Amendment?
Does there have to be evidence of another way that we could have got the information?
Yes.
Is that your question? I don't know that there was another way for us to find out what Mr. Maestros had as far as evidence, as far as whether there was other retaliatory acts, if he had looked up other prosecutors' address. The other police vehicles that were damaged were personal vehicles. So there were all these other crimes. There was 25 separate incidents, and I don't know that we could have just said, well, he must have been his neighbor so he'd know where he lived without using the computer. And there was the connection, because he sent text messages which are used by electronic devices. The specific items that were requested in the warrant were things that could store or send electronic documents or images. So it was likely that they could have found maps or video or photographs of the prosecutor's house or of him committing these acts while he committed them, because if you listen to the recorded conversation or you just look through the record, you can tell he was very flagrant in his disregard for the law. He was very proud of his, you know, acts of mischief. He bragged about it. It was just as likely that someone who brags like that would also record it. So they were looking for this additional evidence to show not just retaliation, but the criminal damaging, the criminal trespass, the other charges involving other people, not just this particular prosecutor. And
But he had been arrested and found with 4 dozen eggs or by a police officer?
Right. He had been stopped and arrested earlier with eggs, correct.
So they knew that he had dozens of eggs.
Correct.
And then an informant wore a wire and secured the admissions from Mr. Bensing's client.
Correct.
To committing these acts.
That he had some involvement with the act at the prosecutor's office and maybe one of the ones with the police cars, not all the other incidents.
And so there was an informant, there was a wire, there was evidence of the eggs, and then he confessed.
He didn't confess to all of the things.
How many offenses was he charged with?
He was charged with two felony, retaliation charges and some criminal damaging for the police cars as well as the prosecutor's cars.
And how many of those did he confess to?
He ultimately later confessed to involvement with the police chief, the police cars as well as the prosecutor's car. But when the warrant was obtained, that was not, we did not have that. What we had was
you had no confession at the time the warrant was sought.
Correct. We had just what was in the text messages and what we had recorded with the informant. And there's always the possibility that those things could have gotten thrown out or that the defendant could have recanted or as Justice O'Connor pointed out, he could have later said he was joking. I mean, the prosecution has the right to bring as much evidence as we feel we need. We have to prove out every element beyond a reasonable doubt. I think the issue here is that defense is trying to make it look like perhaps it was because it was a prosecutor's vehicle or a police chief's vehicle that there was, you know, some extra need to go and get this warrant. The fact is that the magistrate was presented with all the information. The only thing that is not in the recorded conversation that was in the affidavit is the word online. There is no indication that the officer was being dishonest. This case does not fall within the Franks case. Clearly, the officer was giving a summary of his investigation, and it's clear that the officer was correct that Mr. Castagnoli obtained this information online, and ultimately, the record shows that he did, in fact, look it up online. He tells the police later that he did look it up on a computer. I believe he says he looked it up at the library, but either way, the officer was correct in his assertion that the defendant got this information by looking it up on the computer.
Counsel, was there more than one computer seized? There was an authorization for all family computers. Was that it?
They seized a Dell computer and a printer, as I recall, in the inventory return. Okay. So the state would argue, first of all, that when this was presented to the trial court, the motion to suppress just challenged the sufficiency of the probable cause. It did not assert that the affidavit did not have sufficient particularity. Primarily, what the defense was arguing was that this case fell within State versus Each, which this case is distinguishable from. That was a case where the state obtained a search warrant because a defendant had been found engaging in child molestation, so they also got a warrant for child pornography, and the court said one thing does not equal the other. This case is different because there is a connection between the crimes and the search warrant and what we were looking for in the search warrant. This case should be affirmed because the affidavit is sufficient to establish probable cause. The search warrant did describe the items sought with particularity. There is really no other way to articulate what it is the officers could look for any more than this warrant did. And it is and was sufficiently particular as evidenced by the fact that when the BCI examiner did look through the computer and she found the images that she thought were child pornography, she stopped. She immediately stopped, advised the people what was going on, and they got another search warrant. So this clearly was a search warrant that did describe the items to be sought with sufficient particularity.
And does this case come down to whether or not the officer's insertion of the word online justifies the search of the computers at the defendant's home?
I would argue
there was a representation that that's what the defendant had said, but the defendant in fact never said that.
Right. The officer indicated that Castagnolia said to the informant that he looked it up online, and the state would assert that that is a correct recap of the recorded conversation. Even there is not that word online.
It's the impression that the officer had after the conversation, but it isn't exactly what the defendant said.
It is not the exact word, correct.
So the question becomes whether or not the magistrate was misled into believing that the defendant had admitted he looked it up online, justifying the search of the defendant's home computer.
Right.
That's the essence of this case.
That is.
Do I have it?
Yes. Except what he argued at the trial court when he filed his motion.
Who?
What Mr. Bensing filed in the trial court when he filed a motion to suppress.
Yes.
The argument was whether or not the search warrant had sufficient probable cause. It was not the issue of whether or not the officer was allowed to infer.
Whether or not the affidavit seeking the search warrant was supported by sufficient evidence to establish probable cause.
Correct.
And the essence of it is the use of this term online as coming from the defendant or coming from the officer.
That came about really later. He was really challenging whether the word online appearing in the affidavit once or twice was sufficient probable cause to then go examine a computer.
Okay.
The gist of what he was arguing at the trial court was not, is there a sufficient probable cause if an officer includes an inference in a affidavit?
Counsel, you mentioned the hearing, and in the dissent for the Court of Appeals, Judge Carr is talking about the detective who testified he had no information to support his belief that the defendant had used a computer in connection with any of these crimes, and that he assumed there would probably be other items in the house that would be of evidentiary value. Do you dispute that statement?
The officer testified that he believed that Castagnolia said that he looked it up online. After they replayed the recording of the conversation between Source May and the defendant, the detective then said, I see that he did not use the word online, but I believed that he looked it up online because of the fact that all the things I articulated before. So I would disagree with that statement that the officer said during the suppression hearing.
That's a misquote by the judge, you're saying?
I would say that is a misquote. I would respectfully disagree with that. The detective did say that he believed that, not only that he believed that Castagnolia looked it up online, but that he used the word online.
The point of that the use of the computer in these crimes, he did not believe that the computer was used in these crimes. That's not a misquote, correct?
I don't believe that the officer said anything. I don't recall that particular part of it. I honestly don't. I don't recall that he said that he didn't think it was used in these particular crimes. I don't know which particular crimes that would be referring to, if it's just the prosecutors or all of the retaliation.
But doesn't that relate to the nexus, the probable cause to search for evidence of a particular crime? Isn't that what we're talking about? Will this computer give us evidence with respect to this crime that's being alleged against the defendant?
I agree. I'm not sure that particular quote, particular quote is referring to, because this officer testified that he was asking for the warrant because he believed that there would be this evidence of the searches, at the very least, by Mr. Castagnolia, of looking for the prosecutor's address. So I'm not sure if that's taken out of context or if it's talking about something else. I don't know. The dissent probably doesn't cite to anything in the transcripts or what page or what they're particularly talking about. But the state would ask that this court affirm and find that this search warrant affidavit was sufficient as far as probable cause, and that the warrant was set forth what was to be searched with particularity. Thank you.
Mr. Bensing, you've used all your time. Let me take 30 seconds to sum up.
We talked about prosecutor talks about other incidents, talks about, you know, the egging and the vandalism and so forth that he did before. There's no mention of anything about computers in that. There's no mention of anything about how those incidents would have related to a computer. The only mention of, there's no mention of the word computer here in this affidavit. The only mention anywhere that gives a hint of probable cause to seize the computer, probable cause to believe that a computer was involved in the crime, was the use of the word online, which Justice O'Donnell, I think that you correctly indicated, that's the issue in this case. That was presented as a fact to the magistrate. It wasn't an inference drawn by the magistrate. It was an inference drawn by the detective and presented as a fact. And I don't think that's the way that the Fourth Amendment is supposed to work. The magistrate is the one who draws the inferences of probable cause. The police present the facts. The magistrate draws the inferences. Here you have the police presenting as fact something which did not occur. And even going beyond that, you have the single use of the word online. How does this create probable cause to believe that, A, he used a computer as opposed to a smartphone or some other device with browser capability, that he used his computer in doing so rather than the computer at the court's office, a computer at the library, or a computer belonging to one of his friends? And how does it show probable cause to believe that evidence of those searches would still be on the computer? There's nothing in the affidavit which presents that. All you have here is the single use of the word online, and you're going to use that. The police here used that as a basis for going in, seizing this man's computer, and looking all through it.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Thank you very much. Marshall, will you call a recess?